Thank you, Brother Gerald. As I introduce my brother, I know that all of you know him and that he's been the object of our prayers because he's been in India. And we know that each one of our missionaries need our prayers, need us to pray to God for them. And I'm just glad that this congregation shows the love that they have for Brother Buzz and all those that go into the field. So I give to you Apostle Smith Brickhouse.
Thank you, Brother Larry. It is good to be here and see your smiling faces. And I thankful for the opportunity to stand before you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I did appreciate your prayers and why I was traveling for my watch care and protection and for my health and had an extremely good trip. I'm thankful for the opportunity to stand here and to preach the gospel. It is a joy for me to be able to do that, and I hope I might be worthy of it. As I was on the plane coming home from India yesterday, I was trying to collect my thoughts. For those of you that didn't know, I was there for about 10 days. And I was trying to summarize and make a list of things I had to do when I get back and people I promised stuff things. But then was trying to put some rhyme or some reason into things that had happened and the scriptures that were used and the lessons learned that I might be able to use them in a sermon today. And I hope that I have understood what the Lord's urgings have been. I'd like to start with a reading in 1 Corinthians, first chapter, verses 18 to 31. 1 Corinthians, first chapter, verses 18 to 31. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will destroy and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of the world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that is the wisdom of God. The world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified. Unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jew and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness is God, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. The base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glorify in his presence, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus. We find that the scriptures teach us, you know, and I hope I'm not going to preach foolishly, but by the simple things, God has done a mighty work. By the weaker things, God has overcome the power, what seemingly are the powerful forces of evil around us. and that through him we might endure. We had many experiences on the trip. I traveled with Brother Dennis Trugen. He happens to be living in India right now, in New Delhi, and he and I spent those days together. We have two areas that we travel in central eastern India, close to the ocean, the Sea of Bengal. Two groups, two congregations. They're about 40 miles apart, but within them, they have a couple other groups that they're meeting with. We have 42, actually, there's 46 baptized members of the church in India, including Dennis and his wife Betsy and his daughter Amanda, with the baptisms we had this time. And it has been a blessing to be among them and to see them and to know of their struggles and their hopes and their blessings upon them. They have, like we have problems. One of the things about India is they're very poor. There's a lot of poverty. Of our members in these areas, 60% of them don't read. They're not able to read. They've never had the opportunity to go to school. That is not unusual. Most of the members are women, and they get the last opportunity to in India to go to school, especially the older ones. Younger ones seemingly can get there. There is much persecution upon those that believe in Christ. 95% of the congregation is not congregation. Of the population of India is non-Christian. I read an article in the Wall Street Journal on the plane, and they were talking about the Christians in India and the problems that they have and the persecution that they have. And Brian and I and Dennis, we have talked when we've gone there, and we've noted that there's not a lot of men in the congregation, a lot of women. And we pray that the men would be there. They might learn and be used. But this article was explaining that most of the Christian men are afraid to attend the churches because of the persecution that they'll receive, and they'll lose their jobs and be put upon. And so their wives, they might be believers, but most of them stay away from the church. And so they have a lot of problems there. It's crowded. Area that we go into are rural villages. The people are laborers. They work on for a large farming complex, which are in the rice paddies, and they work from sunrise to sundown. Especially in the second area we were in, we had to have our services at night so could attend, because they don't get out of the fields until 7 o'clock at night. There is much. They're busy, and most of their efforts are put to surviving daily needs of life. We had very good services. We preached. We taught classes. We taught baptism classes. We had sacrament services. We had prayer services. We had testimony services. And the Lord richly blessed us. We baptized eight in the first group in the ocean, the Sea of Bengal. It was a stormy day. The waves were about 10 foot high. Dennis fortunately volunteered to do it, and because I would have really had trouble with my knee. But it was a wonderful service. We had the confirmation service right there. And I had an experience after that shook me. We traveled back to where the congregation was mates at this brother Surratt. He's a young man. He made contact off the internet, wrote us a year and a half ago, and they've been meeting in their home. We had 60 people in an area, 15 by 20. Sitting on a floor. I was up against the wall. I had enough room for my feet, and they had a little podium there. and they were, those that could read were reading and taking notes. Many of them, of course, couldn't. We came back to that congregation. First of all, I want to say that we had a hard time getting there. We had different plane reservations. We have to fly a couple flights once we're in India to get there. The plane was 3 hours late at one of them. We had got flown out of New Delhi on Friday night and got to a hotel and ended up getting about 3 hours of sleep and had to be back at the airport. Then the flight was delayed for about 4 hours. And we finally got to the congregation at about noon, and it was worth it. They were all standing there, and they're all smiling, and I thought that was a blessing. Well, we came back after having our 3 days of services there and the baptism, and we came back, and they were all standing there, those that hadn't gone to the baptism, and they wanted to talk to me. And we went into the house, and they wanted to present me to me some of their needs. And they were medical needs, and there were many. I can't tell you how many. It was insurmountable. There wasn't any way to be able to anywhere near handle these urgent needs that they have, and they were urgent. And I prayed that the Lord would bless me that I might use wisdom. And you know, I had $1,000 in my pocket. And I really wanted to spend $1,000. I didn't want to spend it, but you know, they had more needs than that. But I couldn't tell them that. I had to tell them that we weren't able to do that. I told them about the church and who we were. And most of our members the majority of the members of the Church of Christ are people just like them. And that if we might be able to help some with medical emergencies. Told them that they would have to appoint a committee and make some of the decisions that was beyond me. I left them $100. That was very hard to do, but I think it was right. I think that there is much faith. I think it's a lesson that they have to learn to be able to trust in God and not in the things of the world. I surely didn't feel bad for them that they had asked, because that was the only thing they could do. But it was hard to say no. Or not be able to do it. But I know that they will be blessed for it. And they understood as a positive, they really understood. And they ended up making me feel good. So I'm thankful for God's direction in that thought and getting through that problem. And they have some other problems. They're in their culture. They don't like to. They don't like to have conflict. If you know anything about the Hindi religion, you know they want to have karma, love for everybody, and everybody. You know, you have to be tolerant, and everything goes. And so when there is a problem, they walk away from it. And if there's two brothers and weren't speaking. Yeah, you know, they were the leader and the assistant leader of this group. They were, you know, they weren't speaking. They were meeting separately. And all, you know, I heard that before I got there, and they only lived 3 houses apart. And it was just absolutely amazing to me. And so I had to teach them. I had to counsel them and give them the scriptures that, you know, they have to be able to talk those things through and not to let that conflict out. You know, and that's a lesson for us. And that's one of those things I went through my notes and thought that was a point that we might remember. Not to let hardness divide us. Not to let any hurt feelings separate us from our brothers and sisters in Christ. Not to keep from meeting, but to come and meet together, the fellowship. And if we have a problem, the Scriptures tell us to go to our brother and talk those things out and pray together and solve them. And, you know, if we're honest, I don't think we do very good at that. I mean, I think we can overcome and we let things can go by and not let hardships, but to really have the opportunity to the Lord to bless us in His power and that things can be solved and we can be strengthened and be united and to grow. You know, I've got all these notes, and I'm looking at them, and they don't make much sense to me right now. And I want to read from Alma, 16th chapter. This was the thought I had while I was with them, and these humble people that... And it reminded me of the scripture in the 16th chapter of Alma, starting in the 96th verse. I think they were with the Zoramites. Remember the Zoramites, and they were all caught up in their traditions and in their particular way of. Of worshiping and in their pride, and they came up and they stood one at a time and gave their prayer and thanked God that they were better than everybody else and then sat down and left for the week and didn't think again and came back the next week and walked up. And in the whole realm of things in India, I saw all that. While we were there, there was a 10-day holiday for one of their idols. And there would be traffic jams. They were marching in the streets and had this idol on a man-made idol on a wagon that they were pushing, and they had drums and they were all painted up and were dancing in the streets and were stopping the cars to get money for their idol. What brought it home to me was the vainness of that whole thing and all this action in the streets, and it was in every city, and they shut traffic down, and the last day we were there, we were going by one of the large rivers in the city of Hybadan, and alongside the river were the garbage trucks. And the day before, the 10th day, they had all proceeded down to the river, and all these groups had taken their idol into the river to be washed. And the next day, the garbage trucks were picking them up and dumping them in a dump. And even the guide, who was a Hindu, we had hired a guide for the day because we had a couple of hours to kill. And, you know, he kind of joked about that. Well, it's all over with. There they go. And the traditions of man. And yet again, Alma was preaching to them, and there came some of the humbler, the poor people that had been removed from the congregation because they, quote or unquote, weren't worthy to meet with all those that were so fortunate and so blessed. And we read about that here in the 16th chapter of Alma, starting in the 96th verse. I guess I talked through some of that already. I'm going to skip down to... One twenty-seven. when these people were telling him, Alma, and said, for in the 26th verse, for they have cast us out of our synagogues, which we have labored abundantly to build with our own hands, and they have cast us out because of our exceeding poverty, and we have no place to worship our God, and behold, what shall we do? And now when Alma heard this, he turned him about, his face immediately towards him, and he beheld with great joy, for he beheld that their afflictions had truly humbled them, and that they were in a preparation to hear the word. Therefore he did say no more to the other multitude, but he stretched forth his hand and cried unto those whom he beheld, who were truly penitent, and said unto them, I behold that you are lowly in heart, and if so, blessed are ye. Behold, thy brother hath said, what shall we do? For ye are cast out of your synagogues, that you cannot worship our God. Behold, I say unto you, do not suppose that you cannot worship God, save it be in your synagogues only. And moreover, I would ask, do you suppose that you must not worship God only once in a week? I say unto you, it is well that ye are cast out of your synagogues, that you may be humble, and that you may learn wisdom, for it is necessary that you learn wisdom. For it is because that ye are cast out that ye are despised by your brethren because of your exceeding poverty, that ye are brought to a lowliness of heart, for ye are necessarily brought to be humble. And now because ye are compelled to be humble, blessed are ye. For a man sometimes, if he is compelled to be humble, seeketh repentance. And now surely whatsoever or whosoever repenteth shall find mercy. And he that findeth mercy and endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. And now as I said unto you, that because of you were compelled to be humble, you were blessed. Do you not suppose that ye are more blessed? They are more blessed who truly humble themselves because of the word. Yea, he that truly humbleth himself and repenteth of his sins and endureth to the end, the same shall be blessed. Yea, much more blessed than they who are compelled to be humbled because of their exceeding poverty. Therefore, blessed are they who humble themselves without being compelled to be humbled. Or those that, and it goes on, those that believe in the word of God and are baptized without stubbornness of heart. Yea, without being brought to know the word or even compelled to know before they will believe. And the lesson, I think, is we go out and experience. And as Frank and the other ones that can tell, have traveled into the third world countries, that for some reason in the last day, They have a spirit of belief. They want to believe. They don't have any other place to go. They're compelled to be humble. And they want to believe the things that they're said. They want to believe those what appear to others as foolish things that get caught up in their own pride and their own wisdom of man and caught up in their own traditions and yet, you know, here we have a lesson that these that were compelled were brought forth and they were blessed. But oh, what more of a blessing there is for us to have, that humble ourselves, that seek out the Lord, that put it as a priority in our life, that don't get caught up in the traditions and the celebrations and the things of the world that are for naught, that end up in the garbage or rusted, decayed, cankered, as the scriptures testify. And you know, the scriptures tell us that. The Book of Mormon tells us that. The Bible tells us to, you know, seek those things that are above, not things of the world. Don't labor for those things that rust and canker, but labor for those things that bring us eternal life. And yet again, we're besieged, you know, in the world with what we believe to be the quote-unquote necessities of life, the luxuries of the world. And we have to make a decide and place some priority each day to not lose sight of the hope that we have in the resurrection. When we were, Dennis was teaching a class, he talked about hope, and he said that needed to be our rudder, the thing that steers us through life in the decisions that we make, that they might be godly and bring us eternal life, that they might not be worldly. We have this responsibility. We have to set back and look within our lives and see how we're reacting to the forces that are around us, good and evil, and are we gaining for good? Are we going to be among the humble followers of Christ at the end day? Will we obtain that? That the rest in Him that He has provided of eternal life. I think there was one more. One of the things that becomes very obvious when you're in India is, I've already talked about it, is the idols. And there's one on every street corner. There's one on every dashboard. There's one on every countertop. They're in the windows. They're, you know, and they have 1,000 different gods they worship. There are 3 main ones, I guess, but they have one for every purpose, and they have a lot of beliefs that, you know, are traditions that are foreign to us. A lot of rituals, a lot of, I don't know. And I am mindful of the things that it tells us to what we should do in the world and where we are. I want to read from Alma again in the 3rd chapter, starting in the 57th verse. It says, "Behold," talking of Christ, "He sendeth an invitation unto all men. For the arms of mercy are extended towards him, and he saith, Repent, and I will receive you. Yea, he saith, Come unto me, and ye shall partake of the fruit of the tree of life. Yea, ye shall eat and drink of the bread and the waters of life freely. Yea, come unto me, and bring forth works of righteousness. And you shall not be hewn down and cast into the fire. For the, behold, the time is at hand, that whosoever bringeth forth not good fruit, or whosoever doeth not the works of righteousness, the same have cause to wail and mourn. O ye workers of iniquity, ye that are puffed up in the vain things of the world, ye that have professed to have known the ways of righteousness, nevertheless have gone astray, as sheep having no shepherd. Notwithstanding, a shepherd hath called after you, and art still calling after you, but ye will not hearken unto his voice. Behold, I say unto you that the good shepherd doth call you, yea, and in his own name he doth call you, which is the name of Christ. And if you will not hearken unto the voice of the good shepherd in the name by which you are called, behold, ye are not the sheep of the good shepherd. And now if you are not the sheep of the good shepherd, in what fold are you?" And I read this to remind us, to remember what we have the hope in, that we don't get so caught up into our possessions, our idols, our rituals, whatever it may be, that we might be lost and not be numbered among the righteous. You know, I'm talking to the body of Christ here. I'm not talking to the world. I know that. But the warning is to us. The warning is to we look back and we can see that throughout time that the cultures and the societies evolved to a point where they, you know, they were blessed and then they turned from their God and got caught up in the things of their world and then they were punished. And we have to be careful. We have to be sure. We have to not to neglect the promises of God and give heed to the words of Jesus Christ. You know. And we have to consider where we're headed and what we're doing and remember the blessings that God has given to us. I want to turn. I always read the scripture, so somehow I'm going to get to it, so I might as well just get to it. 2 Nephi in the 13th chapter. And it's talking to, reminding us that not everything is done. And starting with the 25th verse, it says, and ye are in this straight and narrow, but it's talking about we've been baptized. You know, we're in that straight and narrow path which leads to eternal life. You have entered in by the gate. You know, and for the, those of us that have not been baptized yet, I like to, you know, consider the things that are taught in the Scriptures. The weak things of the world, or the plain simple things of the gospel, of a need to repent of our sins and to be baptized and endure to the end, and you know that's just the beginning of a journey that the Lord has for us and will bless us with, that we might be able to endure and withstand the temptations and it might be found well with us, and that's what's spoken of in the scriptures that I read where. Christ is saying he extends his arms of mercy towards each of us, no matter who we are, wherever in the world. You know, but we have to come. We have to have a belief. We have to have faith. You know, faith is a verb to me. Have you thought of that? Is it a noun or adjective or something? It's a verb. We have to have a belief and put it to practice. That's faith. We have to do the things that God tells us to do. We have to be obedient. And there's a gate by which we should go in. And it says it's well-marked and it's, you know, a straight, narrow, well-marked way, the example of Jesus Christ. If we don't, you know, we're not in the way. We haven't found, we haven't got into the body of Christ, and there's a need to separate ourselves from the world and the worldly things and come and enjoy the fellowship of Christ and the saints in Christ and be part of the body, that we might be able to endure and to get strength, that we might come and meet together routinely and often in fasting and prayer and to hear the word preached in Sunday school, in the sermons and in the prayer services and in the testimony services, to be strengthened. A small time against the multitude of hours we spend being engulfed in the things of the world, in our jobs, in our homes, and in our culture, that we might not be lost. And it goes and says, we're in that straight and narrow gate and it's all done. And it says, no, you know, those of you that, you know, yeah, I know everybody knows the scripture, but there's a purpose in reading. No, you have not come thus far save a word by the word of Christ with unshaken faith in him, relying wholly upon the merits of him who is mighty to save. And it tells us, wherefore? Hey, there's something we have to do. He's saying, give attention here. There's something that we have to do. It's not all done. It says we must press forward with a steadfastness in Christ. Yeah, there's going to be forces against us. It may not be an easy task, but we have to, with full purpose of heart, press forward. It takes an action. We have to be sure. We can't just sit back. We have to press forward. Because if we aren't pressing forward, we're going backwards. We're falling away. We have to be sure. Having a perfect brightness of hope. That confident expectation, that rudder that Dennis talked about, that we remember what we're here for. And that we don't lose sight of the hope that we have of eternal life, the blessings and plan of God. That we'll make sure that these things are sure, that we're doing the things that we need to do. And a steadfastness of Christ and a love of God and of all men. Wherefore, if you shall press forward, feasting upon the word of Christ and endure to the end, behold, thus saith the Father, you shall have eternal life. We have to endure. We have to continue. And we know that. We've read that. But it's good for us to remember it. And I hope we come to the services with an idea of what we're going to leave there with. That God has provided something for our spiritual growth that we should take with us and put it to practice in our life. It might be different for each one of us, but that we have a responsibility to come and with a plan to bring something home with us. I'd like to turn to the 10th chapter of Alma, 27th to the 30th verse. It says, and now, my brethren, I wish from the inmost part of my heart, yea, with great anxiety, even unto pain, that you would hearken unto my words and cast off your sins and not procrastinate the day of your repentance. But that you would humble yourselves before the Lord and call on his holy name and watch and pray continually that you may not be tempted above that which you can bear and thus be led by the Holy Spirit. Becoming humble, meek, submissive, patient, full of love and all long suffering, having faith in the Lord. And we're pressing forward, watching and praying, continuing. We might not be tempted. Verse 29 says, having a hope that you shall receive eternal life, having the love of God always in your hearts, that you may be lifted up at the last day and enter into his rest. We might achieve that fulfillment of eternal life. And may the Lord grant unto you repentance, that you may not bring down his wrath upon you, that you may not be bound down by the chains of hell, that you may not suffer the second death. We have to. We should have great anxiety and fear and prayer for one another, that we might be able to be endure, that we might together be able to strengthen one another, that we might grow and that we might be able to withstand Satan. In the second chapter of Mosiah, we're in the 44th to the 50th verse. And see that all these things are done in wisdom and order, for it is not requisite that a man should run faster than he have strength. And it's talking then about those things of imparting our substance to every man, and that we have to do those things in order, and that we have to be temperate, and we have to be strong, and we have to be doing those things that the Lord requires of us, but that we have to do it and listen to God's will. And again, it is expedient that we should be diligent, that thereby we might win the prize. Therefore, all things must be done in order. I would that you should remember that whosoever among you that borroweth of his neighbor should return that thing that he borroweth according as he doth agree, or else that thou shalt commit sin, and perhaps thou shalt cause thy neighbor to commit sin also. And finally, I cannot tell you all the things whereby you may commit sin. For there are divers ways and means, even so many that I cannot number them. For this much I can tell you, that if you do not watch yourselves and your thoughts and your words and your deeds, and observe to keep the commandments of God and continue the faith of continue in the faith of what you have heard concerning the coming of our Lord, even unto the end of your lives, you must perish. And now, O man, remember and perish not. Now, I read that as much as for myself as anybody. There are many different ways that we can sin. Many different things that appear to be innocent, but that draw us away from God, that separates us, that leaves a gap where we might be tempted, that we might forget what that straight, narrow way was, that we might be relaxed and satisfied with ourselves instead of working unto perfection, and that we might be lost. But we have to watch ourselves and our thoughts and our words. It's a continual process. We must constantly be reviewing where we are and where we are in our walk in life and in our devotion to Jesus Christ. We read a scripture this morning in Sunday school, a sister mentioned to us. And it's talking about the last days and here talking about the things that will be upon this land and the upheaval and God will cleanse it and that he will take away our strongholds and do all those things in order to humble us and or to punish us that aren't numbered among the righteous. And they're going to happen. They're sure. And yet again, you know, we read them, we all have known them, but we have to be diligent in seeking to make sure that we are kept from the woes of God and are not numbered among the righteous, unrighteous. Turning to the fourth chapter of Hebrews. Says, let us therefore fear, lest they promise, being left us, of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. We're to go forth in caution and fear, and being diligent, seeking the commandments, and looking within our lives. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. We have to have faith and put those things to practice in our life. For we which have believed do enter into rest. And he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he spake in a certain place on this... Well, I'm not going to read that. What I wanted to read here is those first verses. Let us therefore fear, lest they promise, being left of us, of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it, or any of us, talking us collectively, you know, that we might not fall short of the promises of God. You know, there's these one-liners to me in in Hebrews that helped me to in drawing myself in, and I'm going to read the first verse of the first chapter of Hebrews. God, who has sundry times and in diverse manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. You know, we have the words of Jesus Christ before us. We're not like they are in most of India. You know, most of them, you know, have never even heard of Jesus Christ. You know, I'm not used to having to preach that way. You know, you can't open up the scriptures and just start talking about it, but Christ, because they don't understand who Christ is. But you have to tell them who he is. But you know, we know, and we have the scriptures. We have the Bible and the Book of Mormon. We know of Christ, and it behooves us. It's important that we study diligently, that we put those things to practice in our life, and that we review our life's activities on a daily or hourly or weekly or whatever basis, and we measure ourselves to see how we're doing. That's one of the reasons I believe we have the scriptures before us and the words of Christ, that we might look them. There are, it's our guide and our manual on how to live our life. And it's not any different than anything else that we do that we have to review from time to time. Then chapter 2, it says, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we shall let them slip. We can let it slip. We can fall short. We have to give it an earnest heed. You know, and I believe I'm talking to everybody that has that desire. But the scriptures continue to tell us to watch and to be sure and to be diligent. My hope is not to condemn us, but to encourage us to do that. Not to, that we all have the struggles in life, and that we all want to reach that same ultimate goal of eternal life. So we have to let that hope that we have guide us in our daily life. We have to, when we attend a Sunday school or preaching or prayer service, we're studying, we ought to review those things and take action, see what the Lord is telling us to do in our life, or the changes that we need to do, or to strengthen ourselves when we find that we're doing those things that are pleasing to him. We have a need to reach out to others, to tell them that hope that we have in Christ, to be quick to testify and to show by example of what we believe that Christ teaches us. To make sure that we don't have any schisms within the body. There in Corinthians, you know, that we're all members in particular in the body of Christ. And that, you know, each member is important. That the one that hurts, all the body hurts. We have to help those that are hurting and to make sure that we can do those things to ease that hurt and to pray for them and not to let differences of opinion separate us and allow Satan to cause friction and separation. And we have to humble ourselves with a willingness. Remember the story of the Zarmanites and those that were the poorest, and they were compelled to be humbled. They were cast out. They didn't have anything, and yet they were blessed. And notes that how much more blessed are you that do so with a willingness of heart and come and humble ourselves. And we have a need to prepare ourselves to be used. Do we look forward each day and ask God for direction and how he might use us that day? something that might, we some occasion that might come across that we would have the opportunity to help somebody or to thank somebody or to smile at somebody or to call somebody and encourage them or to write a note or testify to somebody. Those opportunities that he gives us to serve him. And we need to remove the idols from us. You know, look at those things that separate us from God. It takes our time, the things that we have great pride over and seemingly work for hard that may not have anything to do with our soul salvation. And that, see if that is keeping us from doing those things that we're to do, that we're talking of in scriptures, in order to obtain eternal life. I'm running out of time. I've got a lot of notes here, but as you can see, I'm paging through them. As in closing, would like to say that we of the Church of Christ have richly been blessed, and yet again we have an awesome responsibility with those blessings, and that is to study, to know the things that we believe in, and where we find them in the Scriptures that we can explain to others, to live a life as we believe, because we do believe that way. Look for those things that separate us. You know, I had an experience on a plane. I don't know what this has to do with, but I'm going to tell you my thought process. I'm kind of big. And I don't fit in the small chairs too well. And I was enjoying, I do have a lot of miles, and so I get priority seating. I can go to first, there's nobody else on the plane. And I'm in this role, and I'm by myself, and there's three seats. And I've kind of spread out a little bit, and I'm enjoying it. And the plane is filling up, and nobody was in those other two seats, and it was three seats in my row, until the very last minute. And I was beginning to think that, I'm going to get a chance to lay down here or something. But a man and a woman sat down there. And I admit I was taking a lot of room. And I was making sure I was taking all the room that I had allotted to me. But this gentleman that sat down next to me didn't seem to agree with that. And, he started pushing on my arm, and I was wrong, and I didn't move my arm too quick. And the next thing I know, he was elbowing me, and I thought, whoa, what have I done? And I have upset him. And I realized that I was wrong. I should have moved over for him. I should have allowed him to come, and for a split second, I thought I was going to get in a fight. That was the old buzz, and I had to think, this is, and I even tell you, I had to think that is not being a good example. I was already too late. I had already done the wrong thing, so I apologized, and that cooled it off. He wasn't entirely satisfied. I guess I was wiggling my leg a little bit and bothered him too, but we did arrive safely. And, those things are a lesson to me. Those things are the types of things that that why we're studying and we're reading and we're meeting and fellowshipping with the body of Christ, we remember that, so that when we come across the heat of the battle, as the case may be, you catch yourself. And I was thankful, and that's the only reason I use that. Is, I had just come from a week in the missionary field, and here I was getting mad at the guy next to me, and that's not the attitude to have. I was thankful for God for the experiences. I ask that you might continue to remember our brothers and sisters in India, and especially our two leaders over there, a young man by the name of Surat. Not Surat. Surat. No, it doesn't have any R's in it, but I keep on calling him Rollins' last name. And the other man, his name is Dada Pasad. And they have a desire to serve the Lord. They're new in the gospel. They make mistakes. But they've been willing to listen and to be taught. And I'd ask that you'd pray for those that, you know, and they've done a good job of teaching the people, you know, something that we can't appreciate. They're teaching people that can't read. You know, you keep on telling them, well, go home and read this. You know, they don't have a book and they don't know how to read. They can't do that. And they need our prayers. And yet again, they're good examples for us in their faith and their humbleness. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Rickhouse. I do have a few announcements. This evening, we'll have a sermon by our brother Bill Malone. Wednesday is our midweek prayer service at 7 o'clock. Our evening service this evening is at 6:30. October 1st, 2007, Monday, baby shower for Mandy Warfield. It's given by Wendy Granger and Belinda Smith. Mandy is having a baby girl and is registered at Walmart. October 5th and 6th, it's Friday and Saturday, women's retreat in Excelsior Springs. Registration forms are in the foyer. October 6th, Saturday, men's golf tournament at Rockwood Golf Course. October 13th and 14th is the camp for all ages, and there will be no services here at the East Local. Please remember those on our prayer list. Also, let's remember our sister Erica Mosier. I have another announcement here. It says the East Local Women's Department meeting will be held Tuesday, October 9th at 6:30 at Michelle Fisher's. We are planning a surprise cook-off. Plan to eat the surprise. Please come for fun and fellowship. I don't know whether that means bring your Maalox or what, but you have a card here. It says, with special thanks, to thank you for the kindness that you took time to show and to tell you that it meant much more than you will ever know. Pat McGee. Again, let's remember the announcements of the week. Please look over the prayer list, and when you find time, pray for those that you see stand in need. Choir practice next Sunday afternoon at 5:15. Okay. Okay, did you hear that? If you plan on attending the Camp for All Ages, be sure and let Matt know how many are attending in your group. They're trying to get a head count for the food. Let's use hymn number 253 for our closing hymn.